Well, good morning. Welcome from Northwest Church. I guess your pastor is over there at my church and is probably going to be starting to preach himself in about 10 minutes or so. We start about 5 minutes later than you do. It's really, really good for me to be back in an evangelical free church pulpit. I pastored in the free church for about 25 years, my first wife and I, and we were out on the West Coast for about 9 years, and then I pastored in Saskatoon for about 16 years. And then my wife passed away, and I resigned from the Saskatoon church and took about a year and a half off for recovery. And in the meantime, I met a wonderful woman at a kind of a grief group. She had lost her husband right around the same time as I had lost my wife, and that was Matthew's father. And so that was almost 4 years ago now, and we didn't know each other from a hole in the ground, but as time went on during that course, we started to become a little bit more attracted to each other. So we ended up getting married in 2016, and of course, if you marry a Mennonite, you have to convert. It's kind of like when you marry a Catholic, right? You have to convert, so that's what I did. And I came up here to Meadow Lake about a year ago, and it's just a delight to be in this community, and I've already gotten to know some of you, and most of you I don't recognize, but hopefully I'll get to know you a little bit better as time goes on. Let's take our Bibles. We're going to turn to James chapter 5, look at verses 7 to 11 today. In my own church, we've been working on a series called Developing a Faith That Works. What does it mean to have a faith that really works for us, something that God is really involved in and that impacts every single aspect of our life? And so we've been walking through the book of James for the last several months and just wrapped that up just recently. But there was a passage here that I thought I would share with you because a lot of us, I think, probably struggle with this. I know that by nature, I'm a very impatient person. How many of you would be willing to put your hands up and say, yeah, that's me too? Uh-huh, yeah, most of us, yeah. Now, how many of you would be willing to keep your hand up and say, God seems to have put me in a place right now where I'm really wrestling with patience? Uh-huh, yeah. Might have something to do with your job or somebody in your life. And I've certainly, as you probably have, learned that if you pray for patience, God's going to ramp up the problem so that you learn how to be patient. Have you ever noticed how much your life is spent waiting? You wait for the church service to start. You wait for kids to come along. Maybe you're waiting to fall in love. Maybe you're waiting for your spouse to come home. Waiting to see the doctor. Seem to spend a lot of time waiting when you go to the doctor. Maybe you're waiting for your husband to learn how to put the socks in the hamper. Or guys, maybe you've spent a lot of time waiting for your wife to finish putting the makeup on so you can get going. Or maybe you just have been waiting a long time until you can afford to buy a house. Waiting. Seems like we do a lot of waiting in life. There's so many things in life that test our patience. Superstore lineups, doctor's offices, car parts that you have to order in because they don't happen to have them here in Meadow Lake, so you have to wait. Restaurants that trap you there for hours. Ever knows how long it takes if you go to the Keg or Montana's and Saskatoon, especially on a Friday or Saturday night. You know, you phone up and you say, what's the lineup? And say, oh, we'll get you in about 15 minutes. And you go, and there's a lineup out the door. And so you have to decide, do I want to be in that lineup? Is it really worth going to Montana's? My family always said yes, so we got to wait. And you'd wait in line for 20 or 30 minutes, and then you get finally in the door, and then it was probably another 5-10 minutes before they sit you down, and then another 5-10 minutes before the waiter or the waitress would take your order. And then you wait another 20-30 minutes for your food to start trickling in, and Then you eat all of that, and you ask for your bill, and it's another 10, 15 minutes before you get your bill. And by the time all is said and done, you spent 3 hours at the fool place. And it's you spend a lot of time waiting there. And they got the nerve to call the guy who serves you the waiter. I mean, you're the one waiting all the time. Seems like so much of life is about waiting. And I've wondered if it's partly because God is trying to teach us the fine art of patient endurance. Patient endurance. Learning to do things on God's time clock instead of our own. There's one thing I've learned in my almost 60 years now. It is that God's timing is a whole lot different than mine. And I often have to wait for him to do the things that I think he ought to be doing right now. God is teaching us through a lot of our experiences in life to learn to wait on him and to trust him. And James talks about that. So let's take a look at James 5, verses 7 to 11. Dear brothers and sisters, he writes, be patient as you wait for the Lord's return. Consider the farmers who patiently wait for the rains in the fall and in the spring. They eagerly look for the valuable harvest to ripen. You too must be patient. Take courage, for the coming of the Lord is near. Don't grumble about each other, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. For look, the judge is standing at the door. For examples of patience and suffering, pardon me, dear brothers and sisters, look at the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. We give great honor to those who endure under suffering. For instance, you know about Job, a man of great endurance, and you can see how the Lord was kind to him at the end, for the Lord is full of tenderness and mercy. But most of all, my brothers and sisters, never take an oath by heaven or earth or anything else. Just say a simple yes or no so that you will not sin and be condemned. And just learn how to live a life of waiting. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that every word you have spoken is true. We wish it was always crystal clear, Lord, and often it is clear and sometimes it's not so much. And we pray that your Holy Spirit will always and forever be informing us as we look at your word. And Lord, as we talk a bit about patience today, I pray, Father, that you would remind us that we are on your time clock and not our own. And that you are inviting us to take part in your kingdom, which is among us. And sometimes seems very slow, and yet you are moving forward with your purposes and your plans. We thank you for inviting us into that, and we ask, Lord, that you would just help us and teach us how to be patient in that process. Because we see life ticking by. Sometimes as we come towards the end of it, we see going by rather rapidly, and things still seem undone. And we just pray, Father, that you continue to give us patience to wait on you for you to accomplish your purposes. So thank you, Father, for this passage. Help us to have a clearer understanding of it as we go along. And I pray in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. Waiting. Some of you might be sitting here waiting for me to be done. When's this guy going to be done? We spend a lot of time waiting. Sometimes it's hard to be patient. When somebody's hurting us, and they don't quit, they just keep on hurting us. And it's hard to be patient and to keep loving them. It's hard when our dreams have stalled or they're stuck in a rut somewhere. It's hard to be patient. We're kind of like little babies that want instant gratification. And yet, like with everything else, our Lord Jesus Christ has modeled the fine art of godly patience as he was carrying out God's plans and purposes for his life. For example, take the struggle that we often have putting up with a friend or putting up with a spouse that just won't stop hurting us. Maybe some of you here today are in that place right now. And you're down to about that much patience, and you're ready to make some decisions. Jesus knows what that's about. When I'm up against that, I often remember that God, in his infinite mercy, for generations, thousands of years now, has patiently endured the sin of man. Shown tremendous patience. And so I should too. Be very patient. Paul wrote in Romans, "What if God, although choosing to eventually show his wrath and make his power known, has borne with great patience the objects of his wrath?" Paul says, "The Lord Jesus himself has already done that with me. For this very reason, I was shown mercy so that in me," he says, "the worst of all sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life." And so when we are tempted to give up on a friendship or on a spouse because we're living in a painful situation, we can go to the Lord Jesus Christ, who has walked that road for thousands of years, and we can go to him and find grace and mercy in our time of need. He knows what it's like, and he's there for us. Paul said, "I'm praying that you will be strengthened with all his glorious power so that you will have all the endurance and patience that you need. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion and with kindness and with humility and with gentleness." And oh, look, patience. Patience. May the patience of Job be a part of our growing faith. James outlines three areas where we can grow in patience. Now, it's not the only three areas in life, but it's the ones that were on his heart. And the first one he says is this: God wants us to learn to be patient when circumstances are out of our control. God wants you to learn how to be patient when circumstances are out of your control. Look at verse 7 again. "Dear brothers and sisters, be patient as you wait for the Lord's return. Consider the farmers who patiently wait for the rains in the fall and in the spring. They eagerly look for the valuable harvest to ripen. You too must be patient. Take courage, for the coming of the Lord is near." I think I've finally figured out that a lot of my life is out of my control. There's only so much that I can do about my health. There's only so much I can do about my family. There's only so much that I can do about my future. My times are in God's hands. And James says it's just like being a farmer. How many of you have farmed? Got to have patience to be a farmer. James recognized that. The weather is out of your control. Often the economy is out of your control. We need to be patient to be successful farmers, James says, and we also need to be patient to be successful Christians. If you want to develop a faith that grows and a faith that works, God wants you to learn to be patient and wait on his timing. On his timing. "God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference." Secondly, James says we need to have patience when people in our lives are unchangeable. Take a look at verse 10. For examples of patience in suffering, dear brothers and sisters, look at the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. We give great honor to those who endure under suffering. For instance, you know about Job, a man of great endurance. You can see how the Lord was kind to him at the end, for the Lord is full of tenderness and mercy. Now, why does he mention Job and the prophets? It's because they faithfully carried out the will of God when people were not changing. They stayed the course with very stubborn people. Job's wife was a stubborn lady. Remember what she said to Job when disaster hit? What'd she say? Anybody know? Thought I heard it. Curse God and die. Man, she must have been one positive lady to live with, eh? Oh, just curse God and die. What are you putting up with this for? And he refused. He refused. When I was a young Christian, I became a Christian at age 16. And I lived beside a family that they were a Pentecostal group that went through hell and high water for years, their whole life. I have never seen a family go through so much disaster as they did. Mental health, suicides, alcoholism, just all kinds of stuff over and over and over again. And as we as a family watched that from next door, I remember thinking, Lord, please never allow me to go through that. And I watched as they tried to patiently endure like Job. And I don't know why, but as a young guy, the first book I read as a Christian was the book of Job. And so this beside me and this in front of me, and I'm going, oh, man, Lord. I don't ever want to have to go through that. Well, guess what? I ended up with my own set of pretty serious stuff for years and years. A lot of things going on. My first wife and I said we could have written a book. And some of you probably could do the same thing. I think God, over the years, was trying to teach me to be patient and to trust Him. Consider Job, James says, and what he went through, and the prophets, he says. Consider the prophets. God said to Jeremiah, they're going to fight against you. They're not going to listen to you, but I want you to faithfully preach my word to them anyway. And he did. And I wonder if you have people in your life that are constantly resisting God and the changes that they need. Maybe it's someone in your family. Maybe it's your spouse, your kids, your parents, a good friend. Constantly resisting God and your attempt to influence them for God. You know, the Greek word that James used here for patience is the word makrothumos, which literally means to be steadfast. It means to persevere, to be patient, to forbear, to be long-suffering. Literally, it means a long heat. Means to have a long fuse. To be patient in all things, the Bible says, you need to have a long fuse. Is God developing a long fuse in you? Thirdly, James says, be patient when you can't explain your problems. Lord, I don't understand why I suddenly have all these health issues. Look at Job, same thing. I mean, he didn't get it. He didn't see what was happening in the heavenlies. All he saw what was happening right before him, and a lot of us are in the same place. We don't see what's going on behind the scenes, but we do see and we do feel what's happening to me. And we don't understand.
understand it half the time. Lord, I don't understand why I suddenly have all these health issues. Lord, what on earth happened to this marriage? Lord, how did this family go so wrong when we did so many things right? Lord, I don't understand why you're letting these things happen. James says, consider Job, a man of great endurance. Satan wipes out his business and his family, torments him for years and years, and yet he faithfully perseveres in faith and godliness. He faithfully trusts God through thick and through thin. Why? Because he knew that God is in control. So here's what we need to do. Number one, trust God. Because everything is under his control. Be patient, James says. Stand firm, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him to act. Psalm 37, verse 7. In other words, hang in there. God will show up. Too often it is true that we miss God's great blessing for us because we impatiently either move out of the picture or we move way ahead of it. And we miss the blessing. God wants us to patiently endure and trust him. Do you trust God with your circumstances, with the people in your life? Be patient, stand firm, James says. Secondly, keep on trucking. Don't change course unless you know it is exactly what the Lord has told you to do. I can't tell you how many times I've seen in 30 years of ministry people flee the situation long before they should have. And have either messed things up or missed God's blessing. Don't change course unless you know it is exactly what the Lord has told you to do. God rewards those who persevere. Tell the righteous that it will be well with them, he says to Isaiah, for they will enjoy the fruit of their deeds. For the Lord will repay each man for his righteousness and his faithfulness, 1 Samuel. Don't grow weary in doing the right thing, for at the right time you will be rewarded, Galatians 6, 9. So don't throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised, Hebrews 10. And then thirdly, act with faith even though you don't see it yet. You see, real faith moves towards what you believe God will do for you. It doesn't just sit and wait. Consider the farmers who wait patiently for the rains in the fall and in the spring, James says. They eagerly look for the valuable harvest to ripen, and you too must be patient. Take courage, for the coming of the Lord is going to happen. Farmers act with faith. They don't just sit around and wait for stuff to happen. They prepare for the harvest. Are you preparing in faith for what you believe God has promised you? You say, Pastor, I'm not sure what God has promised me. You need to read your word more. I've told all my congregations over the years, I've been doing this for decades. As I read through God's word, I like to color code. Anybody here color code their Bibles? Just me, I thought so. Very few of us do it. I like to color code my Bible. Yellow's for stuff about the church. Red is warnings. Green is about walking in faith in Christian life. And I read through I've got one Bible I've had for 40 years now. It's pretty tattered, and it's got color all over it. Just underline it. It's multicolored. It's like a rainbow in there. Blue is for God's promises. And when I'm feeling blue, promise. There's another promise. There's blue all over the Bible. God has made thousands of promises for us. Get to know them and then start to live in them, because that's what real faith is. It's not just saying, I hope this will happen. Hebrews 11 verse 1 says faith is the what? The substance, yeah, or the assurance that what I haven't seen happen yet in my life is going to happen because I've heard God's promise that it will happen. Where have I heard that promise? In His Word. I've seen so many promises there that are directly applicable to me. And so I'm going to walk in faith and I'm going to do things faithfully that lead towards that time of harvest. You know, Jesus said, be it done to you according to your, what? Faith. Be it done to you according to your faith. So to have faith is to believe that God is going to do that because I've seen Him in here promise these things for me, and I am going to walk, and I'm not, don't get me wrong, I'm not doing that whole name it and claim it stuff. That, you know, I'd be in the Pentecostal church or probably not even there, some other church. But I do believe that God has made many promises to us, and we need to faithfully walk in them. And that means to faithfully move forward towards that harvest, even though the harvest isn't there yet. What harvest does God have for my life? I may not even see it, have heard much about it yet, but I walk faithfully towards it because I believe God has a plan for me. And so I'll do that. Be it done to you according to your faith. Acting with faith means that I am preparing myself for what I don't see yet. Maybe it's getting a discipleship plan together for that person that I've been praying for years will come to Jesus Christ. I believe, Lord, that this person is going to come to you. And when he does, I'm ready. I'm ready to disciple him. That's walking in faith. Maybe it's getting a room ready for that baby that we still don't have, but you know that God has promised you. Practical steps. It's part of learning patience. It's part of learning to trust God. Am I preparing for the blessing that I have been praying for, or do I generally just sit around and grumble and complain until I get it? Let me close with this. It's from Habakkuk. God says, these things I plan won't necessarily happen right away. God has made many promises to us. They don't always happen right away. Boy, have I learned that over my 40-year walk with the Lord. 45-year walk. Slowly, steadily, surely, the time will be fulfilled. And if it seems slow, do not despair, for these things will surely come to pass. Just be patient. They will not be overdue one single day. That, my friends, is living in God's timing. Are you prepared to live every day in God's timing? If you are, it takes patience. It takes patience. Let's stand together as we close, and may this prayer be a benediction to you. Father in heaven, you are a great and a mighty God. We have been invited into what you are doing. When you created us, it was because you had a desire for us to get to know you and to fellowship with you. We recognize that we were born into sin that has kept us disjointed from you. We also recognize by faith that you have provided salvation, a path back into a relationship of reconciliation with you through Jesus Christ, your Son, who died on the cross for our sin, so that we would not have to be judged. Lord Jesus, you took that judgment for us, and we thank you. You also, we believe by faith, were raised from the dead, and as we put our faith in that, your Spirit comes into us, and we are given new life, and you are shaping us into who you are and what you originally created us to be. And part of that walk, part of that shaping is learning how to live patiently in your timing. Learning to trust you with all things. And so, Father, I pray for those here today that are perhaps struggling with where things are at in their life right now. Help them, Lord, to turn back to you and say, Lord, I don't get it, I don't like it, but I trust you. And I am willing to wait patiently for you to unfold this plan. I don't want to walk to the side of the path or too far down it, and I sure don't want to back up and go back to where I was. Lord, I'm faithfully just waiting on you. Lord, would you help us as we walk towards that day when we too will close our eyes finally to this earth and open them again in eternity. Help us, Lord, learn the fine art of endurance and patience until that time arrives. And help us in that process to grow in our relationship with you and to grow in our trust of you. We know that that delights your heart. For without faith, it is impossible to please you, you've told us. Help us to be faithful people. And as we leave this place, Lord, help us to leave inspired again, to fully follow you and to trust you in all things, and to be patient and not complain. And God's people said, amen. God bless you. Thanks for allowing me to speak with you this morning.